Welcome to the 10-Minute Entrepreneur Podcast, intended to equip and encourage business owners and aspiring entrepreneurs. Taught by active business owner, best-selling author, and teacher, Sean Castrina.
All right, this is Sean Castrina with the 10-Minute Entrepreneur Podcast, top 50, over 50 countries. If you want to learn how to grow a business, this is the podcast. I have Tony Mivas with me here today. He's the founder of Badger Fitness. Hey, Tony, it's great to have you on the podcast.
Thank you, sir.
Obviously, I love having founders of companies, and I say this and I mean it. I don't care if it's a one-person lemonade stand. I don't really care if it's a $1 billion company. A lot of the components that get my audience excited is, what was your idea? Why did you think it was a good idea? And how did you get it off the ground? And what would you do different knowing what you now know? That applies, it doesn't matter, because that's my key questions.
Right.
I'll let somebody else write a textbook on what they did to turn it into a $1 billion company, because clearly I can't extract it in 10 minutes. So,
for sure.
So with that being said, Tony, how did you end up in just being an entrepreneur in the first place? So you're obviously—
I was born an entrepreneur. I was really lucky. I come from an entrepreneur family. My dad himself, I grew up in a cheese factory in Wisconsin, which actually stems from our secondary company, Pure Choice Whey, because we sell whey protein all over the United States. But my dad literally— in 1954, my grandpa moved here from Switzerland, took a pretty big risk, worked at a cheese factory for 20 years, started his own cheese factory. That's where my mom worked. My dad eventually met my mom at that cheese factory. My dad, 7 years later, started his cheese factory. And in his lifetime, he has sold over $1 billion worth of cheese. His cheese is all over in, I'm talking Costco, Whole Foods, Walmart. Every grocery store around here has his cheese, but that I've always grown up, you know, with that in the background. There was— getting a job for another person was never in my sight. I've been on my own literally since I was 23 years old. And you know as well as I do, there's no going back.
No, so. I was going to say that. And once you see it in your family, once you see, like, with— and I see that with my son, I when they see how an entrepreneur's mind works, I'll never forget this. Like when the economy was changing in 2008. And I remember I was sitting at the dinner table and I said to my family— I mean, we're living in very large, nice cars, nice house, the whole bit. And I say to my family, I said, you know, maybe we need to cut down on the house cleaner, not as often. And maybe we need to make a couple cutbacks, because everybody was doing that. I remember my daughter looking at me. She goes, "No, Dad, you just need another one of your good ideas."
Heck yeah. No, and you got a lot of them. So I admire how much advice you give. But yeah, I took that and I worked at the cheese factory. Like, we come from a pretty hardworking family. Yeah. When I was young, I had this entrepreneur mindset. When I was 12 years old, I still remember I'd be walking through the grocery store and I'd pass a vending machine. I'm like, huh, that can of soda is 50 cents. And I'm adding up in the math of what it would cost me to buy. Well, 4 years later— this is before like technology was super advanced to where you could go do this. But when I was 16 years old, I found a pop machine off of eBay, drove 3 hours to go get it, put it in my dad's cheese factory. I was also working 40 to 50 hours a week in the cheese factory at, you know, 15, 16 years old. I also— so a lot of people don't know this— in Madison, Wisconsin, we actually have the second biggest farmers market in North America. The first one is in California, but I always watch my parents basically go sell their cheese retail there. So I actually started my own cheese stand when I was from 16 to 18 years old. I was making really good money. Like during the summers, no doubt I would make more money than what my teachers would make, which would create, you know, there's a little bit of envy that goes with that, but I was young, I was cocky, I knew the possibilities, and but I never was really into cheese. You know what I mean? I love cheese. Who doesn't like cheese?
Yeah,
but
I
didn't have the care in the business. And you know, I did something that you're kind of against. I got really into fitness and I latched on to an industry that I have heavy passion for. And I always hear you say, like, it's your mistress.
All I ever tell people is this, is that if you can make money in your passion, God bless you. Mine, I just can't, in that, like, golf per se.
Yep.
You know, I have to buy a driving range, which wouldn't work in my area, or I'd have to buy a golf course, which we have too many. If somebody can do it, hey, I am all for it. I love business in general. Like, when I'm talking about it now, I get excited. Like, I'm thinking of your story, and I could be wrong here, but so you're working at a cheese factory and you make this amount of money. if I'm you, you think like me, the money I would have made passively through the Coke machine would have made me more excited than any other money I made. Because I love making, right? It's the money I don't have to work my butt off is what drives entrepreneurs.
Exactly. Yep. And I saw that. And as time went on, you know, I'm like, oh, I'm going to go to school. I want to get into training. I love working with people. Ever since I started working out, I am not a natural gifted athlete by any means. I had to really dig deep for the progress and gains that I've made. I've competed in natural bodybuilding for 12 years. I've done 9 shows. So I've hit fitness pretty hard, but like making money and doing fitness is unreal hard. I actually heard, I don't know if it was your podcast or another one, but I heard the owner of whoever started the Snap Fitness, he was doing an interview and they asked him, they're like, oh, so we can just put up 100 grand, 200 grand and make money, blah, blah, blah. And he said, son, fitness is the hardest business you will ever make a dime on. And that is because he never said it, but I know there are more people that are in the fitness field that don't get paid than there are that get paid. You've seen it on Instagram. Yeah. Everybody is an Instagram star. So and it is such a saturated market.
And this is where, if you go back to my philosophy on passion, you got to be careful, because there you basically said what I think. You got a lot of people that are passionate about fitness, but they're not making money. I just tell people, if you can make money in your passion, go have at it. In my case, I've made good money and it's allowed me to pursue passions that I could never make into businesses, because geographically where I'm at probably wouldn't be the perfect fit. So I just always tell people, you know, be careful that, but if you can make money in it. So tell me, how are you making money? What are you doing different than, you know, Anytime Fitness and Snap Fitness? What is Badger doing different?
Good question. So when we first started, we've had the gym for over 7 years, and I've had my own personal training studio. Literally, I started it over 10 years ago and it evolved into just a 24-hour gym. It's a really nice space. But when we first started, I didn't know there were enough people like me, which I'm like, take fitness. And I'm like, we're like the gym that is the next level after your current gym. And I personally, at that time, 7 years ago, just didn't think there were enough people like me. So I made a massive mistake where I went into it very ignorant. I thought that I knew a lot that there was to know about business because my dad is a very successful entrepreneur. But the thing that he lacked, and this showed my weakness big time, my dad had a golden setup that you'd admire because it takes most of the work. So basically my dad's cheese factory, what I grew up around, he was always focused on just making a great product, okay? He had a deal, all of his cheese, minus what was sold at the markets, which was minuscule to the amounts, you know what I mean, sold in grocery stores and stuff. All of that was marketed by his business partners, that they did all of it. He ran the factory, he was there, they weren't there, you know what I mean? But all he had to do is do the product. And you know the difference.
You know I love that already. I love that already. Okay, let me do the one thing I'm great at and then let other people handle the marketing. And I tell people, yes, that is very rarely are you gifted at both.
Exactly. And the fact is, and what I've learned the very, very hard way, is that making a great product, like for instance, making cheese or personal training or building a house, yes, there is a little bit of art to it. But if you've been doing it some years, you can automate that process in your mind. You don't have to think hard. So the difference between making a good product, that is incredibly easy, in my opinion. To market a good product, it's literally like playing the game of chess, except every day you get a little better, but then the next day there's certain pieces that move a little different. So you have to be like rocking with the canoe. You know what I mean? There's no comparison in difficulty.
There is no doubt about it in business space, and you nailed it right on the head. If you can't attract customers, you're out of business. Period.
Yeah. Yep.
Period. I mean, you can make a great product. You don't attract customers, you're out of business. You can make a bad product, but you somehow have great marketing. And we know, I mean, the example of that is McDonald's makes the worst, in fairness, and they make the worst burger, right? I mean, there's nothing great about McDonald's. I mean, you could probably say Burger King has a better burger. Then you could possibly come back and go, maybe, so-and-so has better French fries, you know, like Arby's. I love Arby's fries. If you break it up granularly, they may not be better in any one area of their menu, but their total system is better than, you know.
It doesn't matter. If you have a great product, that's awesome. That is great. But it doesn't matter if no one knows about you. Yeah. You know, where are they going to find you? You know, they'll always go, the majority are always going to go what they first think of, and it's going to be who they see all the time. And that is all the branded marketing. So when I started the gym, I went into this super cocky mindset that basically To be completely honest, our first 3 years, I am shocked that I made it. And I have this theory why we did, where my business knowledge actual was down here. The only reason we made it, my why, was so damn strong that it kind of evened out and put us over that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
No, over sometimes the years, you can beat it into maybe submission. 5 years ago or so. Say that again.
Sometimes you beat a business into submission.
And that's what I did through literally persistence. And I've always been about that. But I knew that like we could make really good money doing the 24-hour gym. So I dove deep in. I finally got help with it and hired a company. I spent 16 grand, the most I had ever spent on like any schooling at that point in my life, just to put me through a marketing course on fitness. And it literally changed my life. Where before, I just didn't know how to do all the hardwire stuff with like, it's social media, printing ads, stuff like that. That is like, you are lucky to make your buck back on it. You know what I mean? Exactly. When we do Facebook ads, I have like a minimum thing in my mind. If I don't make 5X of what I spend on ad spend,
yeah,
I've like failed myself. You know what I mean? With print ads, exactly. It's like, it's more like just to get those views and to let them see it another time or whatever. So I had to really learn the hard way with that. And then at the same time of that, I was working the office at the gym, which was really tanking me down because I had 800 things going on, and listened to so many people like you and a list of others. They basically convinced me to, no, I need to get a manager. This is a while ago. I need to get a manager. I need to do like 2 or 3 things a day. When I consolidated my schedule, oh my gosh, it just really, really lit the fire. So, and even before we started the gym, I had been selling whey protein for a while, because you may know all whey protein in the world, it is a byproduct from cheese. Did you know that?
I had no idea, but I take whey protein.
And it's from a cheese factory. So my dad is a master cheese maker of Wisconsin. My family knows everything there is to know about whey protein. I'm into fitness. I knew I had good access to whey. I knew the different grades of whey protein. We literally sell the highest grade of whey protein isolate in the world. And that was a really unique that business you'd be more interested in, just because it had such a lean startup. I am not exaggerating. I started that company with about $300. I bought the LLC, and my dad gave me like 30-day net terms on some product, and I sold it. And I have never reinvested more than $300 in, well, I have reinvested, but I've of my own money. No, you know what I mean?
And what is the annual revenue on that right now?
Right now, just over $100,000 a year. Well,
I love that. Guess what? You can't make a million till you make 100,000.
Yeah.
That's what people don't understand. I always tell people, like, what do they make? And I go, no, I just want to hear that you made $1.
Yep.
Because you can't make 10 until you've made one. Everything kind of goes up. $100,000 is better than you realize. I mean, until you get 6 figures, I believe, you can never get that full crazy growth. A lot of people, they wallow in that, you know, 30 to 75,000. Once you get to 100, then you can get to that quarter. When you get to a quarter, you can get to a million. When you get to a million, you get to three. I just have enough companies that I know they're the critical. 100,000 is a critical benchmark.
And the cool thing about that is, so I've done that. To me, it is a pathetic number for the true potential.
Yeah.
The downfall, like the what went against me, is I was so focused on my fitness career. The gym just took up all my energy. But now I have pulled away so much. I'm spending pretty much full time on whey protein. And every month right now, we're pretty much like doubling the last month. It's really incredible. We're doing lots of influencer marketing.
Yeah. That's just a better bit. I mean, fairness, we know that's the big model that can move the needle the most, because that's the one business that can truly make you money while you're sleeping at a huge scale. You know, they could be buying that in, you know, 50 countries, thousands of stores, where, you know, even if you had 100 Badger Fitnesses, there's a limit that has a much lower ceiling than a product that you brand. Yes.
You have a bunch of gyms, my dream is never to have more than one gym, because like, I don't want a bunch of locations. I don't want 50 leases everywhere. To me, that the amount of work right there is just so much headache. You know what I mean? And I know there's systems to put in place, but the whey protein, for the amount of work and for what, like the fulfillment that I get out of it, I love dealing with the people. I always say I've never had a bad day selling whey protein. You know what I mean? But when you have customers coming in, you know, there's always a couple. So,
Well, the one thing about like a product, businesses, I always tell people, make it really, really simple for everybody listening. There's only three components of business, but you have to do all three. Number one is you have to attract customers. That's the hardest, I believe. Number two is then you have to sell them. But if you attract target customers with good marketing, typically the conversion rate's easier. Number three is you have to fulfill, you have to give them what they paid for. That's it. I don't care if it's a dollar business or $1 billion business. They're the three components of it. Clearly, the way is a very simple little customer circle. Market, sell it, keep it, keep sending out a great product, rinse, repeat.
Exactly. And one thing that really saves us a lot of money too, there's a lot of way brands, even really large companies that end up hiring other companies to private label and package their product. So my dad retired quite a few years ago, sold his business, blah, blah, blah. I had nowhere to really package my whey protein. And in my gym, I was already paying for a bunch of space. And in the back, we had a bunch of warehouse space that I was already paying rent on. And you'll love this. I was able to build a certified agriculture dairy room within space that I was already paying for and wasn't using to consolidate. I'm paying no extra rent. And now I'm talking, we could literally like 20X ourselves and not have to move quite yet. Like, it's a really good spot to be in.
But these are the stories that I like because I must be a simple person. I've said I've never had that crazy $1 billion idea, but I've had a lot of 7-figure ones. It doesn't take that. Once you create one money tree, whether that ends up being your whey protein or whatever, when there's you start playing this game of chess, what'll start happening is like Badger Fitness will have a ceiling. But you'll look at that money and be like, okay, that's going to pay for all my vacations, this and that. And you'll earmark it because you're like, it's done. I already got, that's automated. That runs. I get to work out. I get to do that. But then you start going the whey protein. Okay, I can run it to that and I can make it here. And you'll decide, okay, is that enough? Or you'll turn that into something big. You just keep creating more chess pieces that generate money.
Exactly. No, I love that.
If you don't get one win under your belt, and then I love the fact that you're utilizing space. I tell people, man, you leverage everything. You got to, you know what, if you're buying something and you can use a Capital One card to get you 2%, shame on you if you're not using it, right? Okay. I mean, it's funny, I'm promoting Capital One right now and I get nothing for it, but they give me 2% back on all my cash reserves. Take $1 million, put it in cash reserves. I don't mind making 20 grand of nothing. I got to put it in a bank anyway. Number two is we buy over $1 million in products in our company to perform what we do. I don't mind an extra $20,000. I don't mind making easy money. I don't mind like renting out a piece of my parking lot because the person next to me can't fit a dumpster there in his parking lot, but he needs a dumpster. I'm sorry. I'll take $800 every month to put that dumpster. What's that for me? Guess what? That's the M4 lease that I want or whatever. It turns into a game when you really start getting into entrepreneurship and you start figuring out how to maximize all the things that you have available to you. And I love that you're like, okay, I got warehouse space. That's just smart.
And the beauty of what you just said, that 2%, a lot of people don't compute that. First off, that 2% is considered a rebate. So it's tax-free, one. Again, people don't think, oh, it's just 2%. They don't realize when you have a business, it's not all the money you make is profit. So if you're making 30%, that 2% is actually more like 6%. You know what I mean? Amazing. It's kind of a compound effect. So
I just noticed it because I just looked at what I got off of Capital One and all my companies last year. And I'm like, I'm becoming a big fan. I have a massive amount in reserves because I have to have my hands on it. So I let them have it. I like it too, because it's not my everyday local bank. So it takes me like 5 days to get my hands on it. So I can't like reach into it the second there's, I kind of like that, but the Capital One Spark card, you guys need to hire me. 2% back on $1 million is 20% tax-free and I'll take 20 grand all day long.
I know you're big on saving money, which after COVID, I'm like twice as big on it. Another thing Capital One did, they offer what I've been doing with all of our excess cash, basically that we don't need in our bank account. I put in their Capital One 1% savings account and every month they pay you on it. So it's like, you don't have to have, if you have 100 grand, you don't have to have it just sitting in a bank collecting nothing. You can at least make $1,000 a year on it. So it's a pretty cool deal.
Yeah, no, it is. And I don't get anything for Capital One, but I just was reviewing my year end and I have to give them a plug because my goal is to equip entrepreneurs with resources. Tony, love it. I love the story. Let me ask you a couple quick questions that I know my audience wants. Number one is, what's the one piece of startup advice you would share with people? Like the one thing, you know, somebody's looking to start a business. What's the, your kind of your one thing?
Early on, earlier the better. Admit, be humble, do not be cocky. Realize what you suck at, and don't try to get be an expert at what you suck at. Find the person, find the who that is the master at that, and either learn from them or hire them and just be paying attention the whole damn time. Realize, like, if you're start, everyone wants a great business. And if you're trying to start a great NBA team, you're not going to take mediocre players and try to get them to that NBA level. No, 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 no. You need the talent. Sometimes they're not to their full potential yet. Yeah. And that's what, honestly, you're the best at visualizing. That's your gift, is seeing the talent. You know what I mean? But yeah, admit what you suck at, and humility, be okay with it, you know? So that is like the one piece of advice I would give. And just read nonstop business books. Yeah, nonstop.
I love it. And sometimes these answers are the same, but sometimes they're not. What is the one thing you would tell a Tony when he first got started that you know now? And the
example I give you,
like mine was, I was over the top arrogant.
Me too. I was just, like I said, I was too cocky. I thought that because my dad had sold $1 billion of cheese and I watched him just like succeed beyond that, I thought that I knew everything and I've seen it all. But the part that I was missing, like I said before, was that marketing. I did not know anything. And to be honest, I am lucky that our business is still there because of that, because I was so arrogant. But I, like I said, my why was just so high that I literally just beat the snot out of myself. But you either are going to do that the rest of your life, or I could have fixed all those problems on day one if I would have just hired the right person, hired the right company. I heard you got a great media company. So, I mean, that would have been the route to go. Don't be a penny pincher too. You got to be a penny pincher, but not with marketing, letting people know who you are.
Because it's a pillar of your business. If you don't attract customers and you don't attract the right customers and you don't convert sales, if you don't sell, you're out of business. Every business that's out of business, look at why they're out of business. They, you know, sales drop. JCPenney, Sears, Kmart, go all the way down, Blockbuster. You know, they stopped attracting enough customers, didn't convert enough sales, boom, they're out of business. I'm so excited. I have Tony Mivas with me today, and if I mess up on that last name, I continue to apologize.
You're good.
It's just great to have you on the podcast. How can people connect with you? And again, I want to thank you so much for being a guest, but I give you the stage right now for the next 30 seconds or however long it takes for you to promote.
If anyone's listening, if you're ever in Madison, Wisconsin, definitely come by our gym. You tell me you've been on Sean's podcast, I'll give you a free day. Otherwise, if you take whey protein, check us out, purechoiceway.com, P-U-R-E, choice, whey, W-H-E-Y. We do sell the highest grade of whey protein in the world. We don't use anything artificial. It is actually the only whey protein brand in the world right now that is considered a food product, because that's how I promote it. And I don't put basically anything artificial. We only use food-based products. So it's for the person that really places functionality number one on why they take something.
No, I absolutely love it. I love having founders with me. And listen, if you're a listener of mine and you have a company and you want to share your story, you think you've got something that my audience would value, reach out to me again, Sean@SeanCastrina.com. I love hearing your stories. I do not care. And I can't say this enough. I don't care if you started the business 30 days ago. I want to hear about it. I don't care if you're 10 years down the road and you're making $1 billion. I'm going to draw something out of you that's going to value the audience, because everybody in the audience is at one of these levels. They're either, they want to be an entrepreneur, or they've got the idea, or they're launching it, or they're struggling right now, or they're scaling it, or they're selling it. Everybody has a story that can relate to that. Tony, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I have one question for you.
Yeah,
it is your greatest gift. Your greatest gift, I already know, is building teams. And I want to know how you find such incredible people. Did you have a mentor at one time that taught you like how to look, or is that just your natural knack?
I'm an athlete, so I've always know the value of teammates. But the secret to it is, and I say this, but it's true, because I'm always humbled by the amount of talent I have, and I don't live in a big city. Run ads for high level executive positions all year round. Just reword them a little bit in your ad. Seriously. And I say this, if you want Santa Claus, because I want superstar. Because if I'm going to partner with you and give you some equity, I want, you name it, I want all of it. Okay. I want, you know, you need to be able to fly, you know, take bullets off your chest, you know, Aquaman, I want you to be able to swim underwater. I want all the gifts, but run the ad. Go, you know, startup company. I'm looking for A, B, C, and D. There could be an equity position for the person.
So would you say that it's a mix of your ability to basically spot a superstar and just the amount of volume of people?
What it is. You got to a combination of two is you got to ask the right, you got to be able to identify an it factor.
Yep. Okay. Very good. Yeah. I've always wanted to know that. I've listened to literally every podcast you got. So I really appreciate what you
do. That's a secret. Thank you so much, Tony, for being on the podcast. Hey, 10 Minute Entrepreneur Podcast. We go as long as it takes. If we're drilling down on something great, this is brought to you by Get Started Marketing, getstartedmarketing.com. They give you a free web analysis thing. They were telling me about it. All I know is it's free. They do an analysis. They help you. They're incredible at helping you attract customers. If you're not attracting enough customers, stop being so stubborn. You heard what Tony said. Hey, we will talk again soon. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast.